Now, I recognize that there are many today that are attempting to not only to discount this, but they say rather harsh things about this interpretation. One recent book shown me, I understand that he quotes me in that book as well as some very outstanding Bible expositors today. And I also understand he's just a layman. There's nothing wrong with him being a layman, but he probably ought to stay in his own field. He called me by phone. I wasn't well at the time. He called me one morning when I was busy getting ready to come down to the office, asked me a question. I didn't want to answer it, which I didn't. And I understand he makes the statement in the book that I was unable to answer his question. Well, the point was, I didn't want to answer his question. I didn't want to get involved in an argument with a man that I was convinced that was very fanatical in his position. And if he has misquoted others, as he has me, then I would have no confidence in the book whatsoever, although a copy of it has been sent to me. Now, the question arises, and that's the question that book raises, that this viewpoint that we have today is something that's brand new. And I'll admit it's just been really developed, as all these other interpretations, in the past few years. Now, when I started out as a young man, first saved, there was what is known as postmillennialism. Well, postmillennialism believes that the world would get better, the church would convert the world, and Christ would come and reign. Well, that viewpoint is pretty much dead today. You find very few that hold that viewpoint. Two world wars, a worldwide depression, and today the uncertainty and the crisis through which the world is passing, that just doesn't minister to postmillennialism, and it's pretty well gone. By the time I got to seminary at my denomination, every professor there was an amillennialist. And amillennialist means you don't believe that there is a millennium. In other words, this is where most of the postmillennialists ran to cover. Now, there was one professor there that still was a postmillennialist, but he couldn't hear. He was a very old man, and in fact, when they told him the war was over, well, he thought that they meant the Civil War. He was really a back number, so he was still a postmillennialist. Well, most postmillennialists have become amillennialists, and it's like several years ago at Winona Lake, a man came up, in fact, he was a minister, and he said to the late Dr. Herbert Bieber, he says, "Dr. Bieber, I'm not a premillennialist, and I'm not a postmillennialist. What do you think of that?" Well, Dr. Bieber says, "I think that's preposterous, by the way, and I think it is also." Now, this morning, as I'm making the tape in morning, some of you will hear it of an evening, may I say that I'd like, even at the risk of being a little tedious and monotonous, of going back and telling you the viewpoint of men in the past, that they were looking for the Christ to come. They were not looking for the Great Tribulation, and they weren't even looking for the millennium. They were looking for Him to come, and that's the very heart of the premillennial viewpoint, by the way, as we hold it today. Now, even as far back as Barnabas, who was a co-worker with Paul, he has been quoted as saying, "The truth Sabbath is the 1,000 years when Christ come back to reign." Clement, in 96 A.D., he was Bishop of Rome. He says, "Let us every hour expect the kingdom of God. We know not the day." Polycarp, in 108 A.D., he was Bishop of Smyrna and was burned at the stake there. He says, "He'll raise us from the dead. We shall reign with Him." Ignatius, who was Bishop of Antioch, and the historian Eusebius says was the Apostle Peter's successor, he says, "Consider the times and expect Him." Papias, in 116 A.D., was Bishop of Hierapolis, whom Irenaeus said saw and heard John. He says there will be 1,000 years when the reign of Christ personally will be established on earth. And Justin Martyr in 150 A.D. said, I and all others who are Orthodox Christians on all points know there will be 1,000 years in Jerusalem, as Isaiah and Ezekiel declare. And then Irenaeus in 175 A.D., he says that this can only be fulfilled upon our Lord's personal return to the earth. And that was the kingdom. And when the Lord said he'd drink anew of the wine in the kingdom. Tertullian in 200 A.D. said, we do indeed confess that a kingdom is promised on earth. And you can go on down. Martin Luther said, let us not think that the coming of Christ is far off. Calvin, in his third book of the Institutes, he says, Scripture uniformly enjoins us to look with expectation for the advent of Christ. And Canon Fawcett said this, the early Christian fathers, Clement, Ignatius, Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, looked for the Lord's speedy return as the necessary precursor of the millennial kingdom. Not until the professing church lost her first love and became the harlot resting on the world power did she cease to be the bride going forth to meet the bridegroom and seek to reign already on earth without waiting for his advent. And then Dr. Eliot wrote, all primitive expositors except Origen and the few who reject Revelation were premillennial. And Gussler's work on church history, he says it was so distinctly and prominently mentioned that we do not hesitate in regarding it as the general belief of that age. And Chillingworth declared, it was the doctrine believed and taught by the most eminent fathers of the age, next to the apostles, but none of that age condemned. Dr. Adolf Harnack wrote, the earlier fathers, Irenaeus, Hippolytus, Tertullian, believed it because it was part of the tradition of the early church. It is the same all through the fourth centuries with those Latin theologians who escaped the influence of Greek speculation. May I say to you, when anyone says that this is something that was originated 100 years ago by some old witch in England, my friend, you don't know what you're talking about. And after all, what does the Bible say? That's the important thing. I tried to, the only answer I gave that. I said, I'm not interested in what some old witch said 100 years ago. What does Paul say? What does the Lord Jesus say? What does the Word of God say? That's the important thing. What's interesting to note, is it not, that this was the belief of these men.